Chapter 2. Love. Regardless of your beliefs, you've probably heard the iconic passage about love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This passage is the go-to reading for almost every wedding ceremony, even when the wedding isn't in a church, because it speaks so truly to the heart of what love means. Here it is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Now, it's an obvious thing to say, but love is the single most important part of a healthy marriage. Most men understand the importance of love, but they may not know what love should look like between a man and a woman. How do you actually implement and carry out this kind of love in your marriage? That's what we're going to be talking about in this chapter. So, love inside a marriage is... Before we talk about how to bring true love to your marriage, let's make sure we're on the same page. When I say, quote, love, there are certain attributes that go along with it. Inside a marriage, love should be unconditional. It's kind of cliche, but it's really the reason that marriage is such a beautiful relationship. A healthy marriage is built on unconditional love. It's about one person accepting another person completely as they are. It's about two people saying to each other, I will love you no matter what until the day we die. From now on, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, I will love you. Unconditional love is what makes forgiveness possible. Unconditional love is what enables a marriage to last forever. Love is mutually beneficial. Mutual love is what makes marriage the definition of freedom. Mutual, unconditional love frees you to be the man you were meant to be. It allows you to say, I already know I'm loved, therefore I am free to make sure my wife knows she's loved too. You could call it a mutual love matrix, and here's what that might look like. And here I have a diagram, and that's on page 23 in the book. I do recommend that you find a time to look at this when you can, but here's what's happening inside the diagram. When you love your wife, you'll make her life better. In turn, when you make her life better, this assures her that she's loved. Then, when she knows that she's loved, she will be able to love you more. And because she loves you more, she'll naturally prioritize making your life better, which assures you that you're loved, which restarts the cycle. The end result is that you both make each other's life better. Mutual love in marriage should create an internal web where both spouses are actively trying to make the other person feel loved. This mutual love matrix is what we're working towards. Love inside a marriage is sacrificial. Sacrificial love means that when push comes to shove, you're willing to lay your life on the line for your wife. It means you'd literally take a bullet for her. However, since most of us won't be in a position to take a bullet for our wives anytime soon, hopefully, we need a more practical application of sacrificial love. Basically, when you love your wife as you should, you'll always prioritize your wife's needs above your own. That's what sacrificial love means. Does that make sense? Where this gets complicated is when your wife is being overly demanding. Sacrificial love is vital to a healthy marriage, but what if your wife doesn't love you the same way that you love her? What's going to happen then? Well, she'll take advantage of you. She'll make you into her footstool. She'll take and take and take some more until you're empty and out of stuff to give. This is why love must be tempered with leadership. when you let the sacrificial nature of love run rampant, you risk becoming desperate. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Love inside a marriage is persistent. Marital love has a strong chin. It can take a punch. It always gets back up after it's been knocked down. The love you feel for your wife, and that she feels for you, should be highly resistant to all of the little problems that come from daily life. The persistence of love is especially important when your marriage is on the rocks. If you're the only one putting real work into the marriage, you have to make your love even more persistent than normal. Your love has to be unbreakable, unshakable, unwavering. Your love needs to be like Rocky. You take a punch, you take another punch, and you take another punch on top of that, and then you get back up and you take some more. Through it all, you've got your eye on the prize, which for you is a happy marriage, and you won't quit until you get there. Love inside a marriage is joyful. Ultimately, love should make you joyful. Now, this isn't the kind of superficial happiness that only shows face when the sun is shining in your life. Marital love should make you joyful on a soul level. Marital love should make you content. It should give you satisfaction. It should be the thing you prize most in this world. The love you feel for your wife and the love she feels for you are what you will cherish when you're on your deathbed. In your last moments on earth, as your vision starts to darken, you'll look at your wife and smile because you know that she loves you, and that's all you need to take with you out of this world. It's sort of a sad thing to think about it that way, but really, that's what I want for my marriage, and I know that that's what you want too. The love inside your marriage is one of the few things in life that truly matters. At the end of your days, when you look back on your life, the love you feel for your wife and that she feels for you should be what gives you joy. Love inside a marriage is ever-growing. Like many things in life, love can only move in two directions. It can either increase or it can decrease. It can never stay stagnant. Now let me say that one more time, just to make sure you get it. Love can only move in two directions. It can either grow or decay. If it's not one, it's the other. This means that if you can't say with confidence that your love for your wife is more than how much you loved her a week ago, a month ago, or a year ago, then that doesn't mean that you love her the same. It means you love her less. This goes for your wife, too. If your wife doesn't love you more than she did before all the problems started, then she loves you less. Okay, that's obvious, right? But this point is important to understand because it shows why marriages have trajectory. When a marriage is healthy, love grows. When a marriage is unhealthy, love decays. The more that love grows, the easier it is to keep growing. The more that love decays, the easier it is to keep decaying. That's what I mean when I say that marriages have trajectory. This is why the problems you're facing in your marriage right now didn't appear overnight. They're the result of love decaying over time. The relationship between love and leadership. If love is really so important, then why did I make such a big deal about leadership in chapter 1? To put it simply, leadership is how you show love to your wife. Think of it like this. If your marriage is like a car, love is the engine and leadership is the fuel. Without an engine, a car isn't really a car. Well, without love, your marriage isn't really a marriage. But even if you have an engine, you can't use it without fuel. Without leadership, you can't get the benefits of love inside your marriage. But when you have both, you can go anywhere. Now you're probably starting to see where all these problems in your marriage have been coming from. Even though I know you love your wife, and you know you love your wife, if you're not a good leader, then guess what? Your wife doesn't know you love your wife. When you neglect your duties as the leader of the marriage, you're basically saying to your wife, I don't care enough about you to continue putting work into this marriage. I locked you down, I got the girl, now I'm just going to coast. On the other hand, when you do put in the effort to lead the marriage, you demonstrate your love for your wife in a way that she finds both attractive and meaningful. Love makes servant leadership possible. This is the most important lesson to take away from this chapter. Being a leader isn't about masculinity. At its core, it's not even about attraction. Being a leader is ultimately about loving your wife. So, let me ask you this question. Do you love your wife? If so, use that love, because love will give you superpowers. I mean it. It really will. Love will give you superhuman patience and an unshakable will to persevere. Love will give you strength that you didn't know you had. Love will make everything worth it. All the time you're spending reading this book, listening to these audios, all the time before now that you've spent worrying about your marriage, and all the time after you're done with this book that you'll spend putting it into practice. It'll all be worth it when you can look in the mirror and see a leader. Let love be your fuel. Let love be your motivation to change. Let love be your goal. Let love be your route to forgiveness. If you can do those things, then in the next chapter we are going to learn how to harness your love for your wife into concrete, focused action. Key takeaways from chapter 2. First, even though it's obvious, we need to say it. Love is the foundation of a healthy, happy, and lasting marriage. Second, love inside a marriage must be unconditional, mutual, sacrificial, persistent, joyful, and ever-growing. It's what makes marriage all the things that a marriage is meant to be. Love sets you free, gives you confidence, joy, and contentment. Third, we talked about the mutual love matrix, and this is when you love your wife. Because you love her, you do things that make her happy. When you do things that make her happy, that make her life better, this assures her that she's loved, which in turn allows her to love you more. When she loves you, she'll naturally do things that make your life better. And then this assures you that you're loved, which allows you to love your wife more. And the end result is that you have this mutual love matrix where you're both working to make each other's lives better. And finally, the really important point to take away from chapter 2 is that being a good leader is ultimately about loving your wife. Leadership is how you show love to your wife. It's how you express your love for her as her husband.